What would I do on TikTok?
You would do whatever you want.
Give Sean a noogie?
That would probably get at least 100,000 views.
Yeah. Give him a wedgie?
That's at least a million.
A million?
Atomic.
Attention is the number one asset.
What would you go as if you had a costume at Comic-Con? If that 30% turned into 70%, what would you dress up as?
I'd go Batman for sure. Like I said, the other one that I would play out is The Flash is very big for me. Okay. Like when I think about comics, like just, you know, I was never really fast. You know, you understand that, right? So I think the Flash would probably be in consideration as well.
No doubt.
All right, you're very big in the digital world.
Yeah.
So like in-person events like that, they're still very important to you?
Yeah, I think, you know, even hearing, as I was about to come on, talking about it's nice to be back in studio, I think, you know, COVID did a lot of things, changed the world in a lot of ways, but I think for a lot of people, I think it, you know, makes people appreciate being together as well. I think it's great that we now know how to use Zoom and Hangouts, and you know, I'm sure for both of you, it's saved some travel. I used to travel literally every week for my businesses pre-COVID. Now, not having to because you can have the meetings virtually, but going to things, Comic-Con, coming to the stadium, it was funny. My trainer's a big Vikings fan, and we were talking, like, I hadn't brought this up in a while. We talked about the season when they played without fans. And like, you know, like, yeah. You know what I mean? And just like, yeah. It's crazy. And so I think I love people, like even all this incredible crew that you have behind you. If it was less, if it was just us recording with a camera, my energy would be lower. I like people, I like that part. And yeah, so even though I'm all about digital, really I look at digital as a gateway to in person.
Sure.
You know, like a lot of people talk about like, these kids don't have relationships anymore. They're all so introvert. I'm like, no, they're not. They make the relationships on Twitch, on, you know, Xbox, on social, and then they meet those people in real life. They have more friends than we did. We had the friends that we grew up with in the neighborhood.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't demonize digital, and I definitely don't demonize in person. I think the world is both, and I like them both.
I like it. All right, now we got to do this.
Okay.
You're a Jets fan.
Big time.
Big part of your life.
Eli, I have not missed a snap. I need you to hear this. What year were you born?
81.
This is amazing. The 1982 season is my first Jets season. They went to the AFC Championship game, by the way. They tricked me. But I've literally not missed a snap of a New York Jets football game on TV or physically since. No DVR, no Tebow,
Live.
No unfortunate thing, thank God, in my life of a funeral or, you know, or a good thing like a wedding. Nothing, zero, missed none of them. So I'm not a Jets fan. Like, you know, there's levels to it. Just like you guys were all-time players, there's levels to being a player, there's levels to being a fan. I've not missed a snap since basically your whole life.
That's impressive. I think Mike Greenberg would be impressed by that.
I agree.
Ed might be impressed by that. So you're above both of them in as far as accountability.
Yeah, I mean, it is disproportionately my biggest passion. I'm an overall big sports fan. There's other things I like. I grew up in the wine business. I like that world. But Jets football. For sure.
Well, it's not easy being green.
No, not in this town. And by the way, the way I became a Jets fan was I moved to, you know, Edison, New Jersey when I was seven. I went outside, a bunch of kids were throwing a Nerf football. And I, again, like I said earlier, I just moved to the country. I'm just learning the ways. And they're like, what's your favorite team? I'm like, I have no idea. And if Eric Godfrey, if you're watching, Eric, I'm still upset about this. All he had to do was say Giants. And I would have four Super Bowls. But he said Jets, and I have no appearances. Yeah. And so, yes, it is definitely a challenging journey. But, you know, it's interesting. It worked out for me. I grew up a big Yankees and Rangers fan. But when the Rangers won the Cup in 94 and the Yankees won in 96, it took everything out of it. I'm now disproportionately Jets Knicks with those two teams.
Because they've already won. Like,
yeah.
Celebrated that. Like, hey, done that. Check the box.
It's funny. I know it's not the normal way for a lot of fans. A lot of my friends are like, that's so stupid. What is that? That's crazy. I just can't help the way I feel. Something about this as a fan is about the climb.
Right.
And then when you reach it, it becomes different for me. And so.
It's probably like your businesses. Like, you kind of grow them. You want to get them early, grow them. We're like, all right, we accomplished it. Get out. Let's start a new one.
It's very common for entrepreneurs to do that. My two core businesses, the wine business in Jersey, Wine Library, and this Vayner Media business I'm building, they're like forever family businesses. But to your point, it is very common for entrepreneurs to only like the beginning.
Yeah.
that when it hits scale and that's you have to worry hustle, about, yeah, right. When you have to manage 100 people, like it changes. And so, yeah, that's how my sports fandom has worked. I want the climb. I like the pain. I like the heartbreak at some level. So the Jets have been good to me in some ways.
You like the pain. Take the pain, soldier. Uh-huh. Let's talk about the good with
okay.
the Jets.
Okay, yes.
Your favorite Jets player.
Well, so just to context this, 7 years ago, my brother, who was my partner in the marketing company, decided that he wanted to be an NFL agent. So we rep Sauce and DJ Reed, both corners.
Oh, yeah.
So as you can imagine,
yeah.
they're gonna play out a certain way. But I'm a funny fan, like I'm deep, like Chaz Surratt, who's like a special teams linebacker who I loved at North Carolina, is like a player I literally genuinely like. And I think number 82, Gibson, is the X factor this week. My deep gut feel is that it's going to be his, you know, he's someone to look out for this week, because I think it's going to be a tough game, to your point. I think both the Giants defense is making me nervous.
Well.
The last 2 weeks they look really strong, and we're not an offensive juggernaut. But, you know, it tends to be like, you know, players, Tony Adams, the safety, I'm obsessed with. He had obviously a monster. Most Jet fans that are casual got to know who he was last week because of the pick. On Hurts, and so there's a lot of guys on the team. And plus, I'm so fortunate at this point. I'm such a big fan. We're in the business. I've recruited a lot of these kids at this point. I know a lot of the guys, and so it gets hard when, you know, about 7 or 8 years ago, it started to cross over into, like, I wasn't just watching it on TV. I started to get to know them personally.
Sure.
Even, like for example, last year, Braxton Berrios was one of my favorite players. And Brax is like the best dude. I love Brax, but I hate Brax now because he's a Dolphin. And watching him last night, like, I want nothing. Every time he like took a punt or a kickoff last night, I'm like, do not run this back because I'm mad now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it gets complex. I'm sure for you guys as well. Like, you guys played the game.
Sure.
You know the guys in the locker room. Like, you know, I'm not sure for either one of you two if when and if it ever crosses over into you can be a normal fan. There's no normal fan experience for you guys, especially with you doing this for a living. But you know the guys, and you have players that you definitely appreciate the way they play because you understand it deeper. And I think, you know, it all goes into all that, right? Justin Hardy, who won't play this week because he's hurt, which is a big blow to the Jets. Like, I love him because I actually am at the point in my fandom where I, like, really appreciate the Gunner.
Sure.
And I understand what it means, and I understand, like, how that could be a factor.
Yeah, I'm impressed. The fact that you know what a Gunner is,
yeah.
you got Chaz.
I could learn. I don't know what I have no idea what you're talking about. Gunner? What are you talking about? What is that? That's not funny.
The punting.
I'm joking.
I'm aware, you know.
I love that. So it sounds almost like you're like kind of want to get into ownership with the Jets. Is that?
Well, that's see, you've done your homework.
Have you talked to Woody Johnson about this?
I haven't, because I think it's super inappropriate that if you can't afford it, then you're just a poser and like a clown. And I have no interest in embarrassing myself or wasting his time. But yeah, I mean, you know, and I'm proud of this. Like, in my sixth grade, I don't know why my sixth grade asked everyone to like predict what they were gonna do when they grew up, but like literally in the little fake yearbook, because it wasn't even like a real yearbook, but in our end of the year picture in sixth grade in John Adams Middle School in Edison, New Jersey, like everyone's like an astronaut or an architect was
architect,
big in the 80s.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody, everyone was gonna be an architect, and mine was owner of the New York Jets.
Nice.
So somewhere around, so in first, second, third grade, I was like you guys. I dominated in football.
I heard.
I had great, you heard about it, right?
Yeah,
it was huge.
We're still talking about
yeah.
these.
Your dad was like sending me messages. Like I was coming. I have very, very good hand-eye coordination. And so first, second, and third grade were remarkable for me. Around fourth grade,
that's when
speed, strength, athleticism, size, things started to like come into play that did
right.
not go in my favor. So somewhere around fifth or sixth grade, I'm like, I'm probably not going to play for the Jets. And so, but at that point, I was already doing the baseball cards thing. I was doing lemonade. I was very entrepreneurial before that was a word. And so I decided that I wanted to own the Jets. And, you know, as I sit here today, like even walking in here and like I continue to have that dream, I'm aware that it's going to require a lot of things to go incredibly well over the next three decades.
Yeah.
But I'm here for it.
If you were an owner, you know, it's
yeah.
couple decades owner, or hey, next year
yep.
you become an owner,
yep.
what are some things you'd change within the NFL?
Within the NFL, you know, I think if I was in committees and like, and we're talking about things, I think the subjectiveness of roughing the passer is
sure.
is a real pain in the ass.
Yeah. You review that? Reviewable, you think?
I would like that.
Yeah.
I think that would make us fans, and like, I think that is probably the most needed reviewable play.
I think they should ask the quarterback, you know, and some. It's like, hey, was that the passer? Like, no, no, no. He, like, barely
not,
brushed my leg.
Dramatic.
Yeah, like, there's some that are like, big, like, yeah.
Some of them are asking for the penalty. They're like, he hit my face, but he touched my face. Yeah, like, it was a gentle brush.
Right. I'm just saying, if they call it, you could, like, some quarterbacks, it's like the honor system.
Like basketball?
Yeah, you should be able to, like, shake it off. Like, no, no, no.
That was a foul. I get it. I'm calling that one.
I think the fact that if we're making pass interference a reviewable play, sure. I think roughing the passer is a hard right now, and you went through this, I'm sure, in your career, and I think in your era it was obviously different than it is now, but I'm sure you even felt consciously or subconsciously that at some point you started earning the respect of the league and the refs and just the vibe,
right?
And that it would then be more likely that you would get a call than not. I mean, you know, and maybe you see it different. That's actually in question form. I'm curious if you think that. I can tell you, as a Jets fan, we're tired of the NFL fining a player for hitting Zach and not getting a flag. We are now by far the longest tenured team in the league without a roughing the passer. And I think a lot of it has to do with Zach not earning his, you know, I look at what Jalen got, you know, what Watkins got called for yesterday on Jalen. Zach's not getting that call.
Right.
And that might be a delusional diehard fan saying that, but the data supports it. And so I think a reviewable play for that would be big. You know, I think that stands out tremendously to me as one of the things that is a little bit of like an anxiety for fan bases and the league. And I think it would make it a good product. I think the other thing I would do, I really like what's going on with this flag football thing.
Yeah.
I don't want our football to become flag football.
Pretend that way with the quarterbacks.
Listen, you know, and I get that. And look, safety, I get it. I'm for it. Like, I miss the kickoffs. I miss that a lot. The returns used to be such a factor.
Back them up to the 15-yard line.
Yeah.
Gibson back.
I mean, by the way, for all the diehard Jet fans or the people.
The kicker kicks it from the 15, but everybody else can start at the 30.
Yeah.
You know, like, just get the ball. Like, they can
something.
Start, but, you know,
it's the return. They're at the 50.
I think something.
The kickoff thing. Have them start up there.
Something. I can tell you for the probably small group of diehard Jet fans that are watching this right now, the Rex Ryan years, if we don't have Brad Smith returning, I mean, the Jets, that Sanchez offense was bleak.
Yeah.
Our special teams, I mean, we beat the Steelers in a game that mattered because of a Brad Smith kickoff, the Colts, like, they were essential for the Jets back then. And I miss that part of the NFL. So that's another rule that I am curious to look at. But I, you know, the league has done a really good job in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of the rule changes, the crackback blocks that are now being thrown a lot, I think that's good. Like, guys, you know what it is? You guys know this. These guys are getting so big and fast.
Yeah.
Like, when people get into real conversations with me about this, I'm like, guys, do you understand the average guy, what his speed and strength compared to 30, 40 years ago when we were growing up? Like, these guys are so big and fast. Like, these are appropriate adjustments.
Yeah, we're trying to make the game safer, no doubt. I want to go back to something real quick.
Please.
Rumor has it that your Jets fandom started because your mom made you a sweater. It's probably the same color as the one you're wearing right now.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Take us back to that sweater. What is
Thank you for bringing that up. I'm going to try not to cry on the Eli Manning show.
You wouldn't be.
The story is pretty quickly after the story I told you about Eric Godfrey and Robbie Turnick making me a Jet fan instead of a Giant fan. So now they're like, you're a Jet fan. This is right before school starts, late August. The season starts. This is a Jets team that goes to the AFC Championship game. It was a strike season, which is interesting. So it was kind of, I didn't get to see our real players for a little while. Nonetheless, everybody in my town has like those old raggedy 1980s jerseys. Not the stuff we all wear now, like the half t-shirt, like your dad's Saints jersey, like that style, like the t-shirt jersey. So everybody had their 24 or an 85 for Jet fans. That was Freeman McNeil and Wesley Walker. And I wanted one because we would play every day. Every day, we'd go to school, we'd come home, and as soon as we got off the bus, the green and white Nerf ball, pickup football, every day, every day. And so I wanted one, but we were like pretty poor in that we were just starting to get out of like poverty. Like, we moved to America. I lived in a studio apartment in Queens with 8 family members. Wow. Dead poverty, like $100 to our name. And now we're heading into like a little bit of like lower middle class. My parents were not gonna buy a $25 Jets t-shirt. So my mom at night knitted me a Jets sweater that I would wear with the number 5 on it, because that was my favorite number. That was also Pat Leahy's number. He was our kicker. But it is my prized possession, and it's always been my dream to buy this team. And in a stadium like this, whether it's this one or if, because I anticipate to buy in 20 or 30 years, if I have to build a new one, to put the sweater in the front when people walk in, and I want it to say, you know, you can literally do anything. You know, from not being able to buy a jersey to owning the whole darn team, I have that ambition. And it's my mom is my hero. My mom is my foundation. My dad's unbelievable, but like, I was an 80s kid. My mom was home. My dad worked all the time. And the level of self-esteem she built without delusion, and she's my hero. And that jersey is the most important physical thing I have.
All right, obviously, Jets, Giants this weekend. I'm feeling a friendly wager, or non-friendly, either
way. Non-friendly, like, non-friendly. Maybe you remember, on the Giants side, by the way, I'm confused when Giant fans don't like the Jets. You've won 4 Super Bowls, we've won nothing. You're clearly the more popular team in the air. Like, what's the problem? Jet fans, it makes sense.
No beef.
I don't think there's a lot of beef. I mean, you only play every 4 years. It's a little bit of
It's a pseudo beef.
Yeah. So you gotta, like, people ask you about it, so you gotta
though
say
this game
you don't
is
like
though them. This one timed out to be a monster game for both teams. The team that loses this week is not gonna feel great about their season.
So what about something where maybe if Giants win, you wear a Giants jersey?
No shot. Or
not happening.
Not happening.
I wouldn't wear a Jets
jersey. I've never worn
it. It's a Kayvon Thibodeau because he's number 5.
I would wear an Oregon Thibodeau because it's a 5, but like not a
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss I would wear.
Okay, where's your college?
Mount Ida College. There is no jersey. See, if there's no jersey.
That sounds like a good fit for me.
Yeah.
What's the mascot?
You'd have to drink a 40 and play CeeLo. You know, like if you want to do my college. Spades. Like if you want to do my college.
Social media hit, you got to say, great win by the Giants this weekend.
I can't do that. I can't do that. Like, what about wine? I know you like wine. I could put up a great case of wine from Wine Library. That I could do.
All right.
And for me, maybe some of these Panini cards. I like cards.
You like Panini. All right.
I'll give you Corona. I'll give you a bunch of
cards. Sounds a little bit off.
Panini cards.
Yeah, and some wine. There we go. All right.
Deal. That's a bet.
It's a bet. Sean, get in here.
All right, Gary, we know you're a big social media influencer. Yep. Eli is kind of new to the social media aspect.
Yes.
He waited until he was retired to open up the social media accounts, which I think was wise.
Yes.
He didn't want to blow up.
He could hear the feelings in the stadium. Yes. He didn't need to see it on the internet.
I didn't need to
hear the booze and lies coming at your phone. But I want to just give Eli some tips. Since he's new to this, what can he do to grow his influence following?
You know, I think the thing that a lot of us loved to learn about Eli, especially post-career, but you can even see it when he was playing, is the sense of humor thing is there. And so for me, TikTok is something that is a real worthwhile venture for you. That's what everybody thought like 6-7 years ago. TikTok is now the predominant social network, and it is very conducive to humor.
What would I do on TikTok?
You would do whatever you want, right? And so, like, literally, even like
give Sean a noogie.
That would probably get at least 100,000 views.
Yeah, give him a wedgie.
That's at least a million.
Okay. A million?
Atomic. Atomic. Over the head. That's 10 million.
Yeah, yeah,
but I really think TikTok's one place to look. I think the other place, one thing I've also observed from afar, we haven't really chopped it up, but your business ambitions are real, and so LinkedIn has actually become a monster social network. And I think people still think of it as like a recruiting tool, but using LinkedIn as a social network to talk about your business observations, the things you're thinking about, the kind of businesses you're interested in, business advice that you've learned, things you've learned about entrepreneurship that's similar to the athletic realm, I think LinkedIn would be another place to really think about it. I think those two stand out. As a third, I do think, and I continue to believe this, we talked about it earlier about the Gunner or like things that, you know, when you guys watch football, you see different things than the casual fan. I still believe on Twitter, breaking down something that people don't see, and you guys do this anyway, but on social, breaking down something that people don't understand, I think is very, very valuable. Because what we see, and you guys know this, I've always been fascinated by the film room the next day, because I've seen players through the years. I understand football enough to know that there's certain people in the secondary who don't want to take the blame for a mistake and will literally react to get the crowd to think it wasn't their fault.
Correct.
Yeah. And I'm like, but that guy has to go in. Yeah. And they're like pointing and they're like, no, that was your assignment. Right?
The guy, defensive guy comes over and he goes, that was my fault.
Yeah.
I messed up that coverage. I can't believe I blew that. It's not on you. And everybody thinks that he's yelling at the other guy.
And so I think like jumping in Twitter, social commentating of like what happened there was two guys ran the wrong route. That's what, it happened last night. The reason Slay got that pick was two guys ended up in the same place. Clearly something went wrong.
Yeah.
Those kind of observations in real time on social are wildly valuable.
Right. So basically what I'm gathering is on TikTok, Eli should break down the butt fumble.
Yes, I think you should break down the butt fumble. Actually, you know what's so funny, Sean? The butt fumble doesn't hurt me. I'm just trying to get out of here without talking about Victor Cruz's touchdown against the Jets. To this day, and Eric Smith, if you're watching, I loved you, number 33 for the Jets. Great player, nice hit hard, almost ended Anquan Boldin's career here. But that play, like literally, I will go into this Sunday thinking about that, praying to God.
Are you blaming Eric Smith? Or are you blaming?
I'm blaming Eric Smith.
It's Cromartie.
I know.
Took a dive.
It was a great throw.
Yeah, great throw. Cromartie
should have
blown up Victor.
Yes, I understand, but I still have a lot of feelings. I understand.
That started the salsa.
Yeah.
That was like the salsa craze right there.
What really is crazy, you know what's crazy salsa about Victor's career? I was here for that preseason game.
That was,
I was like, who is this guy?
UMass? Before. He always is.
Yeah.
Like the same.
No. That was, yep. But it, you know, and I remember, and we were just coming off of Corbett coming out of left field, you know, 4 or 5 years, 7 years earlier. And I was like, man, I hope this Cruz character isn't a real player. Oh, yeah. He ended up being a very real player.
No doubt.
I'm just curious, were you here when Eli bled during the Jets Giants preseason game?
I sure did.
I
remember.
That was scary.
I've been here for every. I was here for October 94-3. I was here for the Brandon Marshall in the corner. Like that was the big one for us. But we didn't make the playoffs in 15. But the game we won here, it was. I mean, that's why I'm excited for this Sunday. It's gonna be the second time I'm in this stadium as a road visitor, and so we'll do it again.
All right, Gary, we got our Panini cards here.
Let's
pack break.
Box breaks? What are we calling this?
When they're in a box, it's a box, but these are packs. But hold on, Eli, what about this? Let's talk about your signature.
That's pretty good, don't you think?
I'm pretty impressed. This feels like this was the first one in a sitting.
No.
Because, you're a quarterback, so your hand probably doesn't get
through.
It's hard to screw up, like, Eli. You can't shorten that much. Actually, it's like a big pet peeve of mine, autographs. Like, we have some, you get a ball of a bunch of people sign it. You're looking through it. You're like, I don't know. I
who
can't
that
tell
is.
You one what autograph does that say? On this whole ball.
It's like
a symbol.
Yeah.
I take a lot of time.
That was a very nice guy thing to say.
Very observant.
See, that's nice.
Because like once you get to like the 100th autograph, sometimes it's
100%.
I like that it says retro. That just kind of lets you know.
Means
like,
you're old.
That's a nice way of saying.
Gotcha. All right, what are we thinking about here?
Who we got here?
Chase Brown.
Okay.
Keep going.
Is he a gunner?
Ooh, Spears.
I mean, gunner.
Tajay Spears.
Yeah, he's got rookie card.
He's got
a little patch. See that little?
Ooh,
I got a big one here. 3 out of 5. Okay, this is very exciting.
Ooh.
Because Dez Ritter is rep by Vayner Sports.
Nice.
We signed him out of Cincinnati. He had a really challenging play this weekend, fumbled at the goal line. I don't know if you saw it, but he played pretty well.
So that's 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5, and auto.
That was in his autograph.
Oh, you guys, load this pack?
No, whoa.
You guys loaded this pack?
Oh my
guys.
Who's that?
I got all excited about the Dez. I thought it was actually natural.
Is that a rookie of the year card?
Yes. I look very good in this photo.
Is that a rookie? What year is that?
I'm very old in this photo.
What's going on? Nothing on the back. What is it? It's just a flame.
No stats.
Thank you, guys.
What's the hand?
What do you think that's worth? Right,
so this is probably worth at least $6 to $7 million. You know, that's what I'm taking.
Oh, that one.
You can buy the Jets.
That 5. I don't like Mahomes. Okay, so you guys loaded this pack. I appreciate very sweet.
You just scanned over Mahomes?
Well, I'm just very. I want to see what you naturally got. All right, Jake, the rookie in the Saints. You know.
Okay, you got the card.
Nice. Ooh, this is a nice little card.
Here with the
Oh, look at this.
Ooh, Marcus Allen. Whoa, he just like went
legend.
Back. Like throwback
legend.
All of a sudden. So you can go, it can get throwback.
It's a really cool card. See, this is called Nightlights, and this is, I mean,
it's a pretty card.
Look at the thickness of that. Panini did a nice job.
They do nice work.
Another rookie.
Will Levis, right?
Oh, okay.
Nice little cornerback.
You never know. You hold it for a while, see what happens.
That's what a quarterback's arm should look like right there. See that bicep?
Actually, this was like a big part of his draft. Do you remember?
His sleeves were just long. They covered him up.
This kid's playing well, by the way.
Who's that?
Witherspoon.
Yeah, Spoon. Yeah,
Spoon's playing well.
Spoon, I think he actually had an interception against the Giants here. Did you put that up on purpose?
No, I did not.
Okay.
But I hope we get one this week.
All right, what do we got here?
All right, here we go. Cam, he's a nice little player. Here we go.
All right, we got a little jersey here. Rasheed Rice, he had a nice kick.
By the way, there's the auto. Look at this auto, Eli.
RR. What is that?
He's more strategic than you. He's trying to get his work done quickly.
He signed it in silver. You can see
it. I think that's Richie Rich.
Right?
He's a nice little player.
All right, take your time, sign the autograph.
Ooh, here we go.
Analyze that.
Jaren Hall. Backup quarterback.
I want you.
There's a.
If you see another one with the autograph and they cover the name, I want to see if you can read it.
Deuce Vaughn, there we go, for the Cowboys, yeah. That was
What happened in that Cowboys game here?
What happened, what?
The first game of the year. What happened in the Giants?
We don't talk about that.
No, okay, we're just skipping
around. We don't talk about Bruno.
And Drake, nice little player. Five again.
Yeah, there you go, Drake.
He's a nice player.
Is he one of your clients, too?
No.
If there was a back, if we're going to look at the stats here.
Yes.
All right, so it's going to kind of look. So you have your, like, maybe your birthday, November 14th,
1975, correct.
Born, Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm. Belarus.
You don't see that very often. That's
no,
not
definitely not in the NFL. maybe a couple offensive linemen at some
Obviously,
point.
Obviously, everybody lies about their height. So
yes.
It might say 5'9 on there.
But it's really 5'8. Don't tell anyone, please.
Favorite team, Jets.
Yes.
Favorite drink, wine.
Yes.
Skills. What's your skill? Social media, talking.
I think my skills. Investing. My true greatest skill is taking on stress and converting it to not be stress for the people underneath me.
Mm-hmm. What about your big?
Do you think that's a big thing in your guys' game, right?
Like,
I really think that is the most obvious variable to me in leadership.
Yeah.
Someone who doesn't magnify the stress on everyone, but is able to be the diffuser underneath their team.
Right. Sounds like a quarterback,
right?
A lot of quarterbacks. Yeah. You know, when you lose, hey, you take the blame. I got the shoulders. Put it on me. You win, then you disperse all the credit to the receivers, all line, offensive line. You kind of take it on.
Eli, let me ask you a question.
It also could be O linemen because we're taking all the defense on, the stress on, and trying to make their job easier.
Yeah, you're doing all the hard work, and they get all the glory.
Exactly.
Yeah. Eli, real quick, I've actually always wanted to ask you this: your overall demeanor.
Yeah.
Very cerebral. Like, did you develop that, or was that your natural personality, or did you develop that?
I think that's my natural personality. Always pretty quiet, kind of watching the room, analyzing. Don't say anything unless something truly needs to be said. You know, just kind of let show up, work hard, do all those things. Really let your actions speak more than your words. But
you think that serviced you well in New York?
Yeah, I think so. But when something needed to be said, you say it. And people listen to it. They're like, "Hey, he's saying something here."
Is that how the locker room received it?
Yeah. We had enough guys on defense that were talking. They were talking nonstop. It's like, all right, already. But yeah, I think it means a lot more when it's coming from your peers and when it's hey, look, not somebody that raises their voice. Like, he never really yelled at guys.
Yeah.
So, but if he got like fired up, like you knew, this is important.
I went on a big pregame. I never felt that a pregame speech has ever won a game before. That's like the defense. Hey, get everybody riled up. Like, I'm not gonna get guys riled up. I'm
not
trying to stay calm.
Tables,
like, I can't like get you fired up when I'm trying to just stay calm. So leave that to spray hand. Let them stomp it out.
Yeah.
I I've been running businesses my whole life, and was the oldest brother in my family, and just in general, really pride myself. I'm very loud, and I'm over the top, and I'm an extrovert.
No. It says that on your.
Yeah, I see it. But I was very, very proud that, like, when bad stuff's happening, I always wanted to be the person that stopped it and reformulated it for everyone below me, and I think that services me well as a CEO, as a parent, and I think that's a real thing that people can work
on.
It's
working.
No doubt.
Thank you, brother. Working. Yeah. Thank
it's
you, guys.
It's working. You've had
thank
great
you.
Success.
Thank you.
Excited for the game this weekend.
I'm excited,
Gary,
you guys.
Thank you so much,
Gary,
for coming
thanks,
on.
Such a pleasure. Congrats on everything. Of course, guys.
So, Gary, I know you're a big garage sale guy.
Yes.
Like, here's our garage sale. You walk up, like, what's the first thing that pops into
my
your
mind?
Eye?
The Leonard gloves.
Leonard gloves.
I'm a big boxing guy, because I love UFC now, but I grew up in that 80s, 70s, 90s boxing, and I don't think people understand how much of a beast Sugar Ray was, because he was such a pretty boy. I don't think people and they think he was smooth, but he was nasty. And some of his wins in his career, especially the Hearns win, I think are special. So that caught my eye.
You're a big quite a bit. Guy, I know,
I
right?
saw that. Yeah. The Havlicek,
Sandy Koufax,
and Pete Pistol Pete, wow. who's like
rookies,
all,
both rookie cards.
I know these are gorgeous, gorgeous.
Pistol Pete, look at that.
This people. Koufax was great, but honestly, besides the gloves, the Boston Garden original bench.
Yeah,
like,
right?
yeah, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. You wore that?
I didn't wear this.
No?
You're rocking some J's. So
my version right of the homemade sweater, like your homemade sweater.
It's what it looks like. Version. I've never worn a pair of Jordans in my life because I'm such a Knicks fan, and I hate Michael Jordan so much that I've never ever worn a pair of Jordans in my life. I'm wearing Air Force Ones or Dunks, but no Jordans. Nope. I don't think any real Knicks fan over the age of 40 should ever wear a pair of Jordans.
Like
if you're
that.
If you're 25, you weren't affected by it. You're not mad at it. It's cool. Like
good cedar series. Those were heated.
Heated. Heated. Sauce no, and Quinnen. Look at those. What? Eli? No. This is the key to Sunday. This is the key.
Did you bring your own stuff to the garage?
This is the key. Oh, there's a giant in there.
Oh, Saquon. Okay.
Saquon. And this is Quinnen. Tackle Saquon. Yes. That's what I want for Sunday.
About this little van. Right?
Yeah. What is that, Eli? Is that what you take in the summer?
Yeah.
You guys go road trip.
Family trip.
This is Shaggy.
I love it. The Wheaties boxes were huge in the 80s and 90s. Yeah.
Food.
Yeah. Right?
Breakfast of champions.
There's food in there, Sean. You can still eat the Wheaties. They're probably good.
Yeah. I don't think there's a.
Are you a soggy? How do you eat cereal? Soggy or just like crisp?
I like it crisp. I haven't had cereal in a while, but
me neither.
I'm soggy. I don't like it soggy.
Yeah. Once you get soggy.
I'm super soggy.
Super like soggy. So you like pour the milk and then you like sit for a while.
Either Grape Nuts or Captain Crunch. Two very extreme cereals, but both do so well with soggy. I like need it. It's almost like not even cereal. It's like a kasha.
Yeah.
Like I need to be like a. That's how I eat it.
Grape Nuts,
you can't eat that.
I mean, you could drink it.
Like Grape Nuts right away, it's like eating rocks.
Rocks.
They're that hard.
Rocks.
You gotta let that soak a little bit. Get a little
rocks.
Cinnamon in there, a little honey. Yeah.
All right, Gary.
Yes.
If this were a real garage sale, what would be the most valuable thing on the table, you think?
Definitely not. The Koufax rookie, but the garden seats really, can have a huge variable. Those would be the two that I would negotiate down.
What about that bobblehead doll? Is that worth anything?
Oh, this one, I saw this on eBay the other day. I think it was like 80 cents.
80 cents.
You know, with free shipping.
Yeah. Guess what? I own 100,000 of these things, so now you're talking
now I got real money.
Something.
Yeah.
It's not an NFT.
There you go.
No.
This is real.
This is real. Physical.
There you go.